Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
When we experience unity, people are going to see Jesus. And people are going to see that the Father loves them when they see unity in us.
There is unity in God's presence for the individual believer and for the body of Christ. Join Gloria and Kelly Copeland on the Believer's Voice of Victory as they encourage you to let Jesus shine through your life.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly's with us again today, and she's got some really good word for us. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you, Mama. We got a lot to cover today.
Okay, let's do it.
Today, tomorrow, and the next day, I got to get it all in.
Okay.
This, we've been talking about the response of the disciples to Jesus preparing them for him to be gone. And, you know, he even says in John 15, he's still explaining. He's preparing them. He's telling them, this is what you need to do. This is where I'm going. And they are not really getting it. But he says in verse 16, he said, I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other. You know, these things that he's telling them, had they listened, had they absorbed, they would have had peace and comfort in the coming days. And he even tells them, you know, this last 2 weeks, we've been talking about faith for today, faith for tomorrow, And I want to really move from this to faith to endurance, faith to do what's ahead, faith to receive what he's saying today for what we are about to go through ahead, because we are in change and we have to keep our eyes on Jesus just like they should have done. We can diagnose them and say, well, they should have kept their eyes on Jesus, but we need to diagnose ourselves and tell ourselves, keep your eyes on Jesus, keep your ears open. Listen to what he's saying to you. Listen to the words that he gives us to think with. Let's think with these words. You know, the world says, well, we need to have our own mind and we need to be free in our thinking. Yeah, we need to be free to think like he tells us to think, because he's smarter than we are.
Because he works. His way works.
And the Father, he said, I say what the Father says because I know his end, his design for me is eternal life. So he says, that's what I give to you. So we can say about Jesus, I listen to what you say because I know what you have in mind for me is eternal life. I know what you have in mind for me. We can know what Jesus has in mind for us just by reading the words that are in red. He wants us to produce lasting fruit. He wants us to win. He's ready to give us whatever we ask for using his name. He just needs us to walk the way he says to walk so that we can have what he says he wants us to have. Verse 16 says, he's told them about the Holy Spirit, told them how things are going to change. Really, the essence of what's happening here is the disciples are afraid of life without his physical presence. And so they're resistant to that. Peter says, no, Lord, don't say that. You know, when Jesus told him he was going, and Peter said, no, Lord, don't say that. Say, it's not so. Jesus said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. Why? Because Peter was expressing a resistance to the plan of God. He didn't know it, but that's why Jesus said, get behind me, is because that's what Satan was trying to get Jesus to do, was resist that cup, resist walking that road. He said, I will do what the Father says to do. He says in verse 16, well, let me read that where he just said that. 1430 says, I don't have much more time to talk to you about this because the ruler of the world approaches. He has no power over me, but I will do what the Father requires of me so that the world will know that I love the Father. And he says, come on. And as they go, he's continuing to talk to them. He says, I will do what the Father says for me to do. So he continues to give them this information. He says, I'm sending you an advocate. He says it again, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father. He will tell you all about me. You're not going to be in the dark. We already learned, he said in John, those who trust me will not be in the dark. So we receive that promise today, Father. We receive that from you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
If we trust you, we will not be in the dark. You will show us what we need to know. Verse 16, he says, I've told you all these things so you won't abandon your faith. So here he speaks of faith to endure, faith to keep going, faith to win, faith to receive, faith to receive lasting fruit. Then he goes on, he's continuing to tell them, Spirit of truth is coming, John 16:13. He will guide you into all the truth. The Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Then he says in verse 16, a little while you won't see me anymore, but after that you'll see me again. But they're just not getting it. He said, what do you mean, a little while? or they didn't actually say it, they just thought it. Or asked each other, what does he mean by a little while? I don't understand. But Jesus knew what was on their heart. You know, you might as well ask Jesus the questions that are on your heart. He told me recently, he said, if you don't ask the question, you don't get an answer. But right here, graciousness of Jesus was, he gave him an answer even though they didn't ask him. But, I mean, if you have a question, ask him. Where do you think we're supposed to find our answers from? From him. So don't wonder about things, just ask him. He's so gracious. He says, you're asking yourselves what I meant. He said, I said, in a little while you won't see me again, but a little while after that you'll see me again. He says, I'm telling you the truth. You'll weep and mourn over what's going to happen, but the world will rejoice. In other words, get in this with me. Guys, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. This is the plan. So if in all of this, he even says in verse 25, okay, I'm going to stop speaking figuratively and I'm going to tell you plainly about the Father. And he says, I'm leaving the world to return to the Father. Now, listen to what his disciples says. At last, you're speaking plainly and not figuratively. Now we understand that you know everything and there's no need to question you. From this, we'll believe you came from God. You know, in this tone, I believe I hear a tone in this of like, yeah, let's not talk about that anymore. Huh. And that's an attitude that it's easy to take with the Lord when he starts pointing things out to you, showing you where you need to do something different, showing you where you need to change the way you think, and you go, okay, Lord, I get that. Let's don't go there anymore. That's an easy place. It's what your soul tries to cover things back up. So don't allow that to happen. And Jesus goes, do you finally believe? But you know, really we see in the outcome of their lives, they didn't really get it. They should have kept asking him questions, I guess, because they didn't really get it. But he begins to pray for them. And he says, this prayer here that he prays in John 17, it's not just for them. He says that. It's for those that will follow after and all of those that will believe. He says, I'm praying for all, that they will all be one, just as me and you, Father, are one. Jesus prayed that for us. So let me tell you, it's going to happen. And in fact, it is happening now. We are becoming one. The church is becoming one. Jesus has waited a long time for his prayer to come to pass.
Yes.
But it is happening. And so he says, and may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me so they may be as one as we are one. I am in them, you're in me. May they experience, this is what's happening today, such perfect unity that the world will know you sent me. Now that's sort of like 2 + 2 equals something I hadn't thought of. 2 + 2 should equal, if we're experiencing unity, they might know we know we love each other or might know that, I don't know, but somehow when we experience unity, people are going to see Jesus.
Amen.
And people are going to see that the Father loves them when they see unity in us. This is a glorious revelation. This is a manifestation of his presence in the earth like we've never seen before. And it's the very thing that they were going to have to trust was happening. They were going to have to trust that they would experience his presence. And it was hard for them until they actually began to be filled with the Holy Spirit and began to see things. They became bold, as we know. So he says, I have revealed you to them, and I will continue. He has continued to reveal himself, reveal the Father to us. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. And he has loved us. Remember, we read the other day, he has loved us to the end. So in all of that, you would think that in the Garden of Gethsemane, that there would be been a different response. You know what Jesus said to Peter and the disciples? He said, watch and pray. And you could say, I wonder what he meant by watch and pray. I really think he meant watch and pray. You know, had they been listening, they would have known, oh, the enemy is after him and he's going to do what God says he's going to do. And he's leaving. So they would have been on the same page better had they been listening. And then you would think if they had listened in the garden, you know, in the Amplified, it says, Jesus said to Peter, watch and pray. If you'll watch and pray, you won't enter at all into temptation. And of course, we know Peter denied Jesus the way Jesus said he would. But it's not just that temptation that Peter would have avoided. It would be the temptation to respond in the flesh that he could have avoided. Why is that? Because he could have seen Jesus talk to the Father. He could have seen what's going on between Jesus and the Father. Peter could have been one with that. This is what Jesus wants for us to know, what's going on between him and the Father. He's wanting us in on all of it. But we have to pay attention. And we have to listen to his word. And we have to be on the same page with him, be united in his presence, be aware of his presence and what he's doing so that we can be a follower of that. But Peter, we know that he fell asleep in the garden. We can read in the other gospels, he fell asleep. He wasn't paying attention. He didn't get to see Jesus struggle unto weeping and sweating blood. Jesus struggled, but he said, I will do your will, not mine. And he could have seen that Jesus was settled at the end of that. Jesus was at peace when Judas came up with the kiss of betrayal. But boy, when these soldiers came, Peter just, you know, we find in Luke, Jesus is talking to them about what they're going to need going forward. And Peter says, hey, we've got two swords. And their mind is so on what they can do on the flesh. I think Jesus thought, y'all haven't even been listening to me. I've been giving you the weapons to win this battle. But their mind was on the flesh. Peter, I just recently saw this about shame where Peter was concerned. Here, Peter, you can fast forward to when he's in the courtyard and within a stone's throw of where Jesus is on trial. In fact, when he denies Jesus, we find in one account in the Gospels that Jesus looked at him. Right after he denied Jesus, Jesus looked at him. And I know that Peter's heart broke. I believe he came to that place where he was like, I'm done.
What have I done?
What have I done? And all of that. You know, when you don't listen to wisdom, in Psalms it says, or in Proverbs it says, it will laugh at you. Wisdom will laugh at you, at your calamity. And I believe that's what that's talking about, is at that time, Peter, all the wisdom came rushing back that Jesus had been saying, and he's like, what have I done? And when you don't listen to the wisdom of God that he gives you, and you get in trouble because of it, it's not God laughing at your situation, but wisdom will mock you. It'll come back to you and go, if I had just listened. Yeah. But in the middle of that, you can learn and grow. That's what I love about the Lord. In the middle of our mess, we can grow and we can make decisions. Yes, should we have made them sooner just by hearing the word? Yes. But in the middle of junk, sometimes we grow. When we can make that decision that needs to be made, we will grow. God's grace is there to deliver us in the middle of stuff,
yes,
just like it
right.
was for Peter. And here he is. He denies Jesus, not just because Well, he wouldn't have entered in that all, it says, had he watched Jesus go through what he went through, had he prayed, had he been prepared the way Jesus wanted him to be. But he didn't, he wasn't, so here he is. But this goes back to the temptation when they came to get Jesus. It says here, we're going to see the real reason right here why he denied Jesus. This says in John 18, and in fact, he should have taken his cue from Jesus right here. Jesus asks them, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus the Nazarene. Jesus says, I told you that I'm he, and since I'm the one you want, let these guys go. In other words, Jesus is on purpose going with them. He did this to fulfill his own statement. I did not lose a single one of those you've given me. Then Peter doesn't listen to what Jesus is saying. He judges the situation for himself and that he can fix it. And Peter draws a sword. I added that part. That's not in the Bible. And he slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave. That's super important. He cuts this guy's ear off.
It was very important to Malchus.
It was very important to Malchus, but Malchus is very important to the high priest. Jesus says, put your sword back in its sheath. Shall I not drink from this cup the Father has given me, this cup of suffering? Because I'm not going to not drink this. This is what I'm supposed to do. Yeah. So we know the story. They take Jesus. Peter follows Jesus as the other disciples did. And then you know the story. He denies Jesus 3 times. But why? Shame. He has shame over what he did and over the fact that he wasn't listening. And so he denies Jesus because he has fear, and he has fear because he has shame and he didn't obey. When we don't obey and we don't do right and we don't repent, then there's fear in there.
Yes,
but perfect love casts out fear, but he hadn't gone through that process yet. And so he's afraid because this relative of Malchus is at the fire. And you kind of have to read all the accounts of the Gospels to get the full story. But here, he cut the ear off of this person. Now his relative is sitting there who has entry into the household of the high priest, who could come take Peter, and he's going to be in trouble, and he just doesn't know what to do. And so just the first thing that he can think of is backing away from the whole thing in shame. But then imagine how he felt when Jesus looked at him after the third time of him denying Jesus. Jesus looked at him, and I know that in his heart came to a place where it broke. And he was like, I'm done doing stuff my own way. And I believe that was a moment that Peter's life changed. But from there, you know how Jesus looked at him. And in fact, Jesus had already told him, you're going to mess this up. But he said, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And he said, when you've changed, you're going to change the brethren. Mm-hmm. And what happened? Now we have so much from Peter that we can read what he learned, and we can walk in those things. We can walk in what the Spirit is saying, not in what our flesh says. We can walk in what God says, not in what our circumstances say. And we learn that from Peter. My and your life can have that kind of impact on people. To learn, don't be ashamed of where you've been. Don't be ashamed of what life has been like. It's forward time. It's impact time. It's time to let Jesus, the presence of Him, come on the inside of us. It's time to receive the prayer He prayed for us and be impactful, be sent into the world. I'm telling you, in the next couple of days, we're going to talk about what Jesus prayed for unity. It's here. But we're unifying in His presence. We are unifying in His body. We need to be aware, just the way Peter became so aware of the presence of Jesus, it didn't bring condemnation into his life. It brought repentance into his life. Had it brought condemnation when Jesus looked at him, had it brought condemnation into his life, he would have been just like Judas. and he'd have gone out and hung himself. Peter loved Jesus.
Praise God.
When that condemnation didn't come, but love came, Peter repented. Peter, and you know, I love it that when Jesus came back, he checked on Peter. And every, you know, even Peter in the days after Jesus was risen, Peter's like, our hearts just burned on the inside of us. And you know, because of the things that the disciples went through and the things that they spoke, you know, Paul's life was changed. We're going to talk about Paul's life tomorrow. Some of the things that Paul saw. Well, we could go there today. We've got a couple of minutes. Let's crack it open anyway. Let's look in Acts. We've got 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. We'll see how much we can say, Mom, in 2 minutes. Here Paul is impacted by the things that the disciples learned being with Jesus. You would have thought Paul had been with Jesus himself, and he was. Jesus, the very presence that Jesus was trying to express to the disciples was possible, is the only presence that Paul ever received, was the presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus appearing to him. Jesus appearing to him in the Holy Spirit, His Spirit appearing to him, not living with Him in the flesh, but being aware of the presence of Jesus in the Spirit. This is the same way we walk with Jesus. So in Acts is all about the presence of Jesus by the Spirit of God in us. And look, everywhere He traveled, He impacted, people like Lydia were baptized. I was just in Greece recently, and I was right there where Lydia was baptized.
Huh.
It's so cool, Mom.
I bet.
It was so wonderful. And she was baptized there. She was a worshiper of God. And it says that the Holy Spirit opened her heart, that the Lord opened her heart to receive what Paul was preaching. And he traveled all over. Tomorrow we're going to pick this up where Paul is preaching in Athens. And I was standing in Athens.
There you were.
Right on the same spot that Paul was talking to the Athenians. And what was he talking to them about? A living God. A living, ever-present, ever-there, speaking God. And so that's where we're going to pick that up tomorrow. Yes, because that's us today.
Praise God. Kelly and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.